KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland.
I live in East Oakland in the depths.
In the Piedmont Avenue neighborhood.
I live in the Sheffield Village.
I live in Pittsburgh.
Coming up, a woman dies shortly after being released from jail, and that sparks demands for change.
If you don't have a place where you feel safe, then how does that impact the choices that you make after that?
Then we hear stories of musicians behind bars.
For me, I do my music mainly because it's therapeutic. It's the only way I could really get suppressed emotions and thoughts and stuff like that out.
We meet a guitarist and a pianist.
Oh, when I was 9 years old, I was in a Nordstrom and I went up to the piano and I started playing and they hired me on the spot.
From Solano and San Quentin State prisons, creativity that can't be locked up, coming up on Cross Currents. Jessica St. Louis was released from an Alameda County jail on a late night last year. Hours later, she was found dead from a drug overdose. Tomorrow, state lawmakers will weigh a bill that would give inmates the option to be let out during the day. The measure's supporters say discharging inmates late at night leaves them vulnerable. And people close to Jessica say release times are just one example of how the criminal justice system fails to keep women safe. KALW's Justice reporter Holly J. McDeed has more.
Benita Turner remembers the day Jessica St. Louis moved in with her family in Discovery Bay. It was just before Christmas in 2009, and Jessica was a vivacious 16-year-old. They would laugh together for hours, showering each other with compliments.
We would sit together on the sofa, and she'd just sit beside me and again say, "Mom, I just love you so much. Mom, you're so beautiful."
From that same sofa, Benita looks through pictures of Jessica on her phone. Photos of Jessica at church, at Raiders games, and family get-togethers.
She was just bubbly and high-spirited and just the most beautiful smile.
Jessica had moved to the United States from Haiti when she was 7 and went into foster care in middle school. She was later placed in Benita's home. Benita remembers being warned not to get too attached.
Because you know a lot of times things don't work out, and so she may have to move. And I was like, no, she's going to be with me forever.
Benita says she and Jessica were kindred spirits. They were both born in June. They were both Geminis. Both of their moms had died when they were 4 years old.
That's why I wanted to be the final stop for her, to let her know you have your own room, your own bathroom. This is your home. This is a safe place for you to land.
But despite Benita's best efforts, Jessica's life was not easy. As an adult, she struggled with addiction. She had been arrested for minor crimes, like stealing a bike and taking power tools from a Home Depot. She spent almost 2 weeks at Santa Rita Jail in Dublin last July. It was roughly 1:25 a.m. when she got out of jail. She walked over a mile to the Dublin Pleasanton BART station. Trains wouldn't be running for another 4 hours, and Jessica never made it on. Instead, she overdosed on heroin and fentanyl. It's not clear how or when she got hold of those drugs. Her body was found in front of BART that morning.
Of course, it shook us to the core. I mean, I have her ashes sitting in my living room.
Benita says Jessica could still be alive if jail officials had released her during daylight hours. Instead, Jessica was let out when most services were closed and no one was around to help her.
I can't imagine that she was in such a rush to get out that she wanted to walk a mile in the dark by herself to the BART station with no money to get on BART, no phone to contact anyone.
Now Benita is pushing for a bill sponsored by State Senator Nancy Skinner. It would give inmates more choice about when they're discharged. The bill would allow them to stay up to 16 hours after their scheduled release time. That way, they can be let out during the day. But some law enforcement groups oppose the bill, saying it's too costly, difficult to manage, and that it could keep inmates in custody longer than needed.
We're at what's called CP11, which is the main entrance, the main lobby of Santa Rita Jail.
Sergeant Ray Kelly is a spokesperson with the Alameda County Sheriff's Department. Ray says the bill isn't necessary. He says released inmates are already welcome to stay here in the jail lobby as long as they want.
But we don't have a lot of people taking that offer. A lot of people, they don't want to stay in jail 1 minute past the time that they have to.
We walk outside, down the ramp where Jessica walked the night she was released.
That ramp significant in that walk is kind of your first walk to freedom. And so when you get to the bottom of that ramp, you've got to figure out where you're going to go.
It's sunny, and a man is mowing the already perfectly manicured lawn. It feels almost idyllic outside the jail during the day. But Jessica was released long after the sun went down. And Dublin is the kind of sleepy place that can make you feel alone at night.
And so you have to ask yourself, when she walked out the front door of our jail, where did we let her down? What made her want to go and immediately use?
Ray says Jessica would have been vulnerable whenever she left the jail, no matter the time of day. Recently released inmates in the United States are about 40 times more likely to die from a heroin overdose than the general population.
The longer you're in custody, your tolerance level goes down. Your mind is still addicted at the level that you were at before you left, and you think you can use at that same level and get that that high. And in her case, that was likely fatal for her.
Ray admits that jails could do more to get inmates with addiction the help they need. Like almost every other jail in the country, Santa Rita doesn't offer medication for people addicted to opioids. And once inmates do make it out, there are other barriers to treatment, like finding insurance that covers addiction or doctors trained to treat it.
There is definitely a crisis in our communities when it comes to addiction, and in particular with what we're seeing with fentanyl and opioid addiction.
But Ray says releasing inmates during the day won't fix those issues.
And it's easy to point your fingers at the sheriff's office for a lot of failures that happen in society and blame us because we're the last people to have contact with that person.
Soon after Jessica's death, the Alameda County Sheriff's Department began offering inmates release from jail Narcan, a drug that can reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. But people like Victoria Folks say that still falls short.
We're not making sure that people have what they need. And I don't know that, I just don't know that a BART ticket in Narcan is going to get us there.
Victoria was Jessica's seventh grade teacher at a school in San Rafael. She also became her foster mom for a time. She supports the bill to limit late night releases.
I still don't understand why people need to be released at midnight.
But she agrees that the story of what went wrong for Jessica did not begin the night she was let out of Santa Rita. Jessica dealt with trauma since she was very young. Both her biological parents died before she turned 16. Victoria remembers how Jessica, even as a kid, felt pressure to act tough, like everything was okay.
Sort of like she could respond to what people wanted her to be. And I feel like we don't do a great job as kind of like as a community, as a society, of making it, you know, of one, making sure that kids know that whatever happens to them is not their fault. I don't know. I feel like those are wounds that like sometimes never go away.
In the years before her death, Jessica's life was rocked by more hurt and instability. In 2014, Jessica filed a restraining order against the father of her child. He had violently assaulted her. But the restraining order failed to protect Jessica. The next year, that same man broke into her home through her bedroom window.
If you don't have a place where you feel safe, then how does that impact the choices that you make after that? Like, we can't look at just addiction and not look at what is the, you know, kind of like, what's the circle around all of that?
The circle around all that, Victoria says, is lined with multiple systemic failures. And at the center of that circle is Jessica, who didn't get the help she needed even when she asked for it. Last June, Jessica called Victoria from jail. Jessica said she wanted to get better. She had applied for a rehab program, but was denied access because she takes mental health medication. That was the last time they talked. Jessica overdosed and died a few weeks later. Now it's been nearly a year since her death, and Victoria still thinks a lot about what Jessica would want.
Jessica also didn't want other people to go through, to be hurt or to go through hurt or to, like, I don't know, sort of have experiences that were similar to hers.
Victoria is not an activist. She is not on the front lines of the opioid crisis, but she is an educator. She pushes for young girls in the classroom to feel safe and like they belong. And she thinks about Jessica, and she misses her friend.
Like, she, I don't know, she knew me better than, like, a lot of people know me. I mean, and so, yeah, I miss that. I miss her.
The bill to limit late night releases passed in the state Senate and is currently in the Assembly. If it passes there, it will be up to Governor Gavin Newsom to decide whether to put it into law. In Dublin, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.
Holly is KALW's justice reporter. You can reach her at justice@KALW.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Henna Baba. You may know that the KALW news team trains incarcerated men to be journalists. Well, in the prisons where we work, a lot of the guys get through life by playing music. So today in our series, Bay Area Beats, where we feature local musicians, we've got two stories about two musicians who are incarcerated. Our first piece comes from our partners inside San Quentin Prison.
San Quentin Radio. Bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you gotta own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Cause I like to be free, I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop and all of a sudden you heard this.
Eric Abercrombie, also known as Maserati E, is 25 years old. He's been in prison for the last 8 years. He's a guitarist, a singer, and a songwriter, and he visited San Quentin Radio to share his story.
No lie, yeah. Please fail me. Maserati E.
My name is Eric Abercrombie, a.k.a. Maserati E. I've been doing music forever and a day. I picked up the guitar in 2012 in Old Folsom. And music is my passion. That's my life. That's my everything.
I spent away. Use this time to try to find me a better way to stack this.
For me, I do my music mainly because it's therapeutic. It's the only way I could really get suppressed emotions and thoughts and stuff like that out. I can't really express myself through speaking like how I can through the music. I don't necessarily have to say a word, but once I play the guitar, play the piano, anything like that, it's like I'm letting it all out. I could allow my emotions to be heard and be felt. It's like so visceral.
I've been up all night, too much anticipation. I've been waiting my whole life, but I'm tired of waiting. So excuse my
patience. When my brother got killed, the music definitely got me through it. I wrote quite a few songs about it. It's in like a lot of my lyrics, you know what I mean?
It's the eyes, man. No lie, I just gotta stay alive, man. Cause tomorrow ain't promised to nobody, can't nobody.
It definitely helped me get through my morning, I guess you could say. And it really helped me with accepting it. Cause for like quite some time, it didn't even seem real. It was like, man, this shit is crazy. But then, you know, like through the music, I was able to really, like, able to really vent and not just suppress it. Cause I wasn't talking to nobody about it. Like, I was on some like fake ass bravado type, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good, ain't nothing wrong. Like, I'm just chilling, this, that, and the other. But inside, I was sick.
Trying to find me a better way to stack this money to the sky, make it elevate. Planning like a mastermind each and every day.
And it was like hella songs that I was making I wasn't showing nobody because I was exposing that pain, exposing that sickness. But then eventually it got to the point where it was like, I felt like people got to hear this because I know I wasn't the only one going through that. You know what I mean? Like the people that I was around, you feel me? I'm from Oakland and like people get killed all the time. Like got hella dead partners for real. So it was like when it's so frequent, you know what I mean? When it's so frequent and it happens on a frequent basis like that, I mean, eventually you're going to get used to it. You're going to become desensitized to death and things like that. Even though it still hurt, but it start not to hurt as bad as it used to.
Stack this money to the sky, make it elevate. Planning
music, like I said, is my form of therapy. So it's like me and my bros, you feel me? It was like we going through the same stuff. So I started kind of feeling kind of selfish a little bit.
Real, I'm so tired of struggling, I really am.
Knowing that to a certain degree, it was making me feel better. So based on that, I know that it was relatable to a lot of other people. I started kind of exposing that, and it was being felt, and then they was able to feel a sense of release through me.
Broke now, trying to build up, trying to stack to the ceiling. Hungry like the children in the African village. I know it's gonna get greater later, man. Trying to speak it to existence, why I say them things. I learned you gotta go through hell to get to heaven. I will never.
That was Maserati E, currently incarcerated at San Quentin State Prison. He's set to be released in August. Tan Tran produced that piece. He's a student in KLW's radio program at San Quentin State Prison.
No lie, I'm on the rise, trying to satisfy my appetite. So much on my mind, I'm sleep deprived up all night, thinking like I need M's. Will I see my brother in the afterlife? Will I begin to perish? I'll be cherished for the sacrifice, the time that I spent away. Use this time to try to find me a better way to stack this money to the sky, make it elevate. Planning like a mastermind each and every day. No lie.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Now we're going to turn to Solano State Prison for a Bay Area Beat story about an incarcerated pianist.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison.
This piece comes from producer Brian Mazza. He calls it Keys to the Cage.
Can you state your name, age, and where you're from?
Yeah, Maimon Pony, Sacramento. I'm 42 years old. My mom had me take lessons throughout elementary school, junior high. She paid for private school, private piano lessons, and I'm glad she did that.
How many hours a day did you practice?
Oh, at first, maybe one or two, but we ended up settling on 1 hour a day.
Did you feel like a piano was kind of pushed
on? No, I hated it growing up because I was forced to practice, and my piano was right in front of a huge living room window where I'm seeing my friends play out in the street, and I didn't want to sit there and play scales and Hannon chords, so I just kind of pouted, but it in the end it worked out better. I had an adventure in high school, had an audition for Juilliard, but my behavior was too I was way out. And then I ended up getting pushed through a plate glass window in the high school gymnasium and severed the tendons in my tooth in my hand, and that kind of stopped my playing for a while. I told the doctor that I was a piano player, and he was gonna sew it up without suturing the tendons back together. But they ended up getting a specialist in there and getting my tendons back together. So
I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, but you're gonna get out pretty soon, aren't you?
Hopefully this year.
That's good news. What do you plan on doing?
Gonna practice, start gigging probably in South Lake Tahoe.
How much does a piano player, a lounge player of your caliber, make in a year, per se?
Well, it depends on what you're spending your money on and what you can take home. Yeah, I never knew, because I live from day to day and gig to gig.
Really? So you were partying hard, pretty much. Was that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it's for a drug addict or an alcoholic to be in a party atmosphere in a bar or in a restaurant where they have alcohol, and you have very little discipline. Someone like that is gonna just follow the easy way.
Do you think that your recidivism is basically due to drug addiction?
Absolutely. I'm done with that stuff. I'm just gonna kind of hole myself up like a hermit and play music and maybe find a couple people to jam with.
Yeah.
And maybe go. And I was a church organist for a while, so if I'm involved in the church and that type of atmosphere, I can play and have an audience, and the sacred music will kind of keep me grounded.
Sure. It'll give you kind of a kind of like a decompression period after getting out. You'll be in an environment that'll be, you know, semi-safe.
Yeah, yeah, warm up to it.
That was Maimond Pony on the keyboard speaking with Brian Mazza. Brian is a producer in KLW's radio class at Solano State Prison. KLW's work in prisons is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability, and all content is approved by information officers. For more stories from our prison projects, go to KALW.org.
When I kiss you like I used to, I get baby, you just bit me.
This music is by More Fatter from San Francisco. They're playing at the Independent this Thursday night.
Shush, my darling, part the Red Sea. Moses is our guy.
Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Manolo Morales, Jessica Plachik, Andrew Stelzer, Corey Suzuki, and Jameson Weiss. Our engineers are Tarek Foda and Gabe Graben. Line producer is Kristen McCandless. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba. We're going to leave you today with an edition of My Mixtape, where we ask someone to tell us about a song that's special to them.
This is KALW, My Mixtape.
My Mixtape.
My Mixtape.
My Mixtape is...
one song.
I got a song.
My name is Kelly Kerslake Kalako.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
I'm from New York City, London, UK, and San Francisco.
It's a new day, it's a new life for me.
And my song is by Nina Simone.
And I'm feeling good.
I love the intro to that song. It's so compelling and stirring, and I feel Nina Simone's beautiful grit.
You know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel.
You know, I actually use that song in my acting classes, and I work with a form of Suzuki martial arts stomping and poses.
And I'm feeling good.
When you stomp until you essentially pass out or die, in quotation mark, and then you rise. And when you rise, it's like your soul has been emptied and you rise as something completely open and new.
You know what I mean.
And so when that song comes on and my students rise, to see what fills them in that moment is so awesome. I get to see it newly every time in each one of my students.
Oh, me, that
You can find more songs and stories from our My Mixtape series at KALW.org. That's also where you'll find instructions on how you can submit your own to our collection.